Welcome to the HRA podcast. On this episode, we'll be interviewing Rosemary Lavin, who joined the HRA committee as our new secretary in November 2021. Rosemary has been an animal advocate for over 50 years. She has served as a candidate for the Animal Justice Party in over five elections and has sat on the Victorian committee for 7 years. We thought this would be a great opportunity to get to know one of our committee members and to hear the perspective of someone who has had a long and diverse history with animal advocacy. Welcome, Rosemary, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. This is quite an honour.
So just to start off with, can you tell us when and how your journey in animal advocacy first began?
Well, when I was 10 years old, we were shown a film for health education that included film footage of farm animals being killed for food. I stopped eating meat then and there, but it took about a month for me to tell my mother what I'd done. And when I did tell her, she joined me in being a vegetarian. I'd always loved animals right from the day I was born. And I think I was 12 or so when I read about a new group and you'll know my age now, this very new group called themselves Greenpeace, and they were trying to stop the slaughter of whales, harp seals, and nuclear testing. I discovered I couldn't help the cause much from South Africa, but around about that time, my mother subscribed to a new magazine called Odyssey, and I think it was this magazine that had an advert for a charity called SAPIA, which is the South African Association Against Painful Experiments on Animals. I should have said from the start, I grew up in South Africa. So that's how it all started. I just joined SAPIA and educated myself on all things so awfully cruel.
Being from South Africa, can you share how animal experimentation was viewed by the public at that time?
So this is my early teens. I had never met anyone who was concerned about animals at all. People at school, my best friends, everybody around me, they were aghast that I did not eat meat. There was absolutely no discussion about animals used in laboratories. But if I brought the subject up, I'd be shut down with the argument that human life was more important than animal lives and that this was a necessary evil in the same vein as abattoirs are. I was always made to feel different. I felt I was the only person on the entire planet that gave a damn about the lives and suffering of animals.
What decade was this in?
So we're talking the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us some more about the activities of the South African Association Against Painful Experiments on Animals?
Yes, so I joined SAPIA, and what happened then was that I received their monthly magazine, which was purely an educational tool. They would talk about experiments that were happening at the time in South Africa. And to be honest, the magazine was quite a traumatic experience to read. I only have memories of spending hours weeping in my room, feeling helpless, lonely, and horrified. At the time, all I could do was donate my pocket money to the cause. I have no memory of what actions they performed, but I believe they spoke at symposiums and other academic scenarios where I was too young to go to, but I was aware that something was happening and I felt all I could do was give money.
The time that you're speaking about was before the internet, so it must have been a very lonely and challenging time to try and connect with community or other people that similar views with you. What kept you going?
All my life, the only thing that's kept me going is the fact that animals have it so awful. They don't have the means to reject what is happening to them. They are completely and utterly at our mercy. And understanding that keeps me going. Whenever I'm stressed or tired or exhausted within the animal rights group, I find just thinking of the helplessness of these animals and the situation that they're in gives me the courage or the energy to keep going. I have to do it. If I don't, I can't live with myself.
Is there a key moment or experience from your younger years that has had an impact and that has stayed with you over this time?
Yes, there are. There's one in particular, a very traumatic experience. Was an article in the Sapia magazine about researchers attempting a head transplant from one dog to another. This was around about the time that Chris Barnard performed the first human-to-human heart transplant and was successful. But obviously the two dogs, and possibly more, the two that were in this article died after minutes. But the visuals were, they live with me. They completely destroyed me. It was straight out of a horror film. And to this day, I cannot understand how people could think that was scientific. It was nothing other than depraved behavior.
These days, we don't have as much access to those sorts of images, to see those sorts of things. They're a lot more secretive. How did Sapia access that sort of footage?
I think in those days it was shared freely because there weren't any activists protesting. And apartheid South Africa, they had the law on their side. Even if you wanted to protest, the chances of you being arrested and locked up were very high. So people in power had free rein to do whatever they wanted. It was a very frustrating time, and I had a white skin. I cannot begin to understand what anybody who was not white felt like in that time.
When did you arrive to Australia, and how did you become familiar with the animal rights organizations here?
I arrived in July 2007. So the first 2 years I was settling in, finding a job, getting my son settled and so on. He was then 16. And then I had my own internet and my own access, and I started Googling animal rights things and came across Animals Australia. And that was the organization that woke me up to the fact that being vegetarian just wasn't good enough. So I went vegan in 2009. And around about the same time, I discovered I was always wanting to go and meet Australian wildlife. They're so extraordinary and beautiful. So through the internet, I discovered Wildlife Victoria. And in 2011, I started rescuing and volunteering at a wildlife shelter. And in 2012, I went to World Vegan Day. This was in the days when it was small, and it was held at the Prince's Park in Colton. And I saw a stall there with one man standing under a marquee, and the heading on the stall said Animal Justice Party. And I knew that is my home. I joined on the spot and got involved with the party then. And through them, I discovered the Coalition Against Duck Shooting and the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses. And I was just immersed in the animal rights movement. I'd found my family.
And so you served as a candidate for the Animal Justice Party in over 5 elections and also sat on the Victorian Committee for 7 years. Can you tell us some more about some of those experiences you had over that time?
What a journey. I became a citizen on the 5th of March 2012, and I joined the AJP in November of the same year. And the following year, 2013, was the first Australian election that I could vote in. It was a federal election, and I was a candidate. So I had to learn about a new way of voting. I stood in the seat of Batman, which is not anywhere near where I live, but I was very naive and I got a very tiny percentage of the vote, but we knew that would happen. That was the first election we'd ever stood in. So I like to think I was part of a small group who built the first step from which the party has subsequently grown. But serving on the committee was a hell of a lot of work, lots of meetings, lots of protests, and many lonely hours in front of the computer. But it was also a time of meeting people who understood and felt exactly the same way I felt all my life about trying to protect animals. Finally, I was with my people, and standing in elections was a hell of a ride because I had to learn about the political system, preferences, and once I understood how preferences worked, I wanted to scream at people who were blindly voting whatever their parents did and their ancestors before them. I think people have started thinking a bit clearer now. And having to speak at Meet the Candidate events meant I had to deal with a lot of fear and insecurity, and that's when I would think of the pig in a sow stall or the animals in an abattoir or laboratories and all the horrors we inflict on beautiful animals. And I knew that my fear was nothing and I had to speak for these animals. Even if my voice shakes and my knees quiver, I have to do it. So it's really good to know people are waking up and listening and that the movement is expanding exponentially, actually.
As a political candidate, what were some of the obstacles that you faced whilst advocating for animals, particularly in the area of animal experimentation?
Well, conversations I had about animal experimentation, shockingly, haven't changed much since I had them as a child. I still find reactions tend to be, it's a necessary evil because humans are more important than animals, or I didn't think we tested on animals in Australia anymore. So talking about the fact that more than 90% of experiments do not translate to the human body is met with disbelief. Why do they carry on if this is true? Talking about research that doesn't go anywhere and the number of animals that are killed nevertheless, very few people understand how unnecessary and cruel all of that is for no gain. I think there's an enormous amount of educating still to be done. There's a lot of speciesism to overcome. Mice, rats, guinea pigs are still considered less than dogs, chimpanzees, and baboons, and so on. And we still have to work through sexism and racism and so many isms. So when will we be able to see that all living beings just want to live and deserve to live in peace?
What other animal welfare or protection organizations and activities have you been a part of?
I did a lot of work with the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses, particularly the trying to get a ban on jumps racing. And I've done duck rescue with the Coalition Against Duck Shooting, and I've done a lot of rescuing with Wildlife Victoria. And of course, recently I have joined Humane Research Australia as the secretary.
And what motivated you to join HRA?
Well, I've been 7 years on the committee for the Animal Justice Party and then resigned and took a break. And to be honest, if I'm not doing something critical for animals, I do struggle to live with a clear conscience. I find the more I actively do, the better my psychological well-being, ironically. And Magda Wozni is the president of HRA, and she called me up one day and said, there's a secretarial position going, would you like to put in an application? And I did, and was fortunate enough to get the role.
You've done a lot over the years. Can you share with us some highlights or achievements that you're proud of?
Yes, a particularly interesting one was a protest with the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses. My mother had arrived in Australia in 2012, and so I used to take her with me whenever I stood at a stall or a protest. And she was particularly active protesting with me for the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses. And I think it was about 2015 when a group of us went to the Flemington Racecourse on Derby Day. And we actually went in, we bought tickets and we went in and we stood as close to the finish line as possible. And we held up this enormous sign which says, "Is the party really worth it?" and showing a dead horse. People might be familiar with that. It became a billboard and has been used frequently. But this was the first year the banner had been used, and we were holding it up for about 2 or 3 minutes before security had a heart attack and found us and ushered us out. It was exhilarating, it was exciting, and it was pretty damn gutsy. And Mom was 87 at the time, so I was very proud to be part of that group, CPR, and I'm still extremely proud of the work led by Elio Cellotto, who to this day continues as strong as ever. He's extraordinary. But I've seen the concrete that is tradition being chipped away by these groups and their supporters. The horse racing industry is under enormous pressure to be transparent about what happens to horses, what is the retirement plan, if not an abattoir. And jumps racing is dying a slow death. And as with duck shooting, unfortunately not banned in Victoria, but I do believe its days are numbers. And this is because more and more people are getting involved and putting pressure on government. And the number of vegans has increased incredibly in my lifetime. Attitudes are changing. I have so much faith in the younger generation to make compassionate decisions, and we'll be considering animals and their rights to live freely, free from exploitation very soon, I'm sure of it.
What do you see as the greatest obstacles to organizations campaigning for an end to animal experimentation today?
I see this as a David and Goliath situation because we're fighting the huge pharmaceuticals and the entire medical fraternity, all insisting that animal testing is essential because, especially with toxicity and those kind of things, but it's also attitudes that we have to change. We've always done it this way, and that's the only way we can get funding if we include animal testing. And the human condition of resistance to change, these are massive blocks to stopping this absolutely ridiculous form of testing. But I do see more and more doctors, researchers, and scientists being won over by the fact that there are better ways to use funding. They can get far more accurate, effective, and reliable results using human cells and tissue, computer models, and human volunteers rather than making animals suffer so horrendously.
Over the years, who have been your role models and influences in the movement?
Well, I'm so glad I met Helen Marsden very briefly about a year before she died. Her knowledge and her incredible hard work and calm advocacy proved to me that so much can be done by quiet people, but perseverance is key. Elio Cellotto also with the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses, his perseverance is incredible. He, however, unlike Helen, is a loud protester using a megaphone he's very charismatic, but he's very well versed on all the issues, arguments and facts, and has done a lot of background research himself. And I met many campaigners in the Animal Justice Party. The common factor to all of these heroes is passion, perseverance, and having the knowledge at your fingertips, being very, very immersed in the facts. And at the age of 13, I gave a speech in English on a book I've read called In the Shadow of Man. It was then a newly published work by a young 37-year-old Jane Goodall. And I simply loved her work and was so lucky to be able to meet her in 2017 here in Melbourne with my mum. I had so much to talk to her about, but when I met her, I just burst into tears. And mum saved the day and said all the things I'd meant to say. But yes, I could go on, but those are my heroes.
What words of advice would you give to the next generation of advocates?
I think the key to succeeding is perseverance. We always have so many disappointments, but we need to be determined and to remember who we're fighting for, that those animals in laboratory cages or on live export ships or in factory farms, let those poor animals be the motivation for us all. Persevere, persevere. My sister sent me a definition of tradition, which is, tradition is peer pressure from dead people. And I like that. And I think if we all stop listening to dead people and move forward, looking at a living, healthy, and above all, kind, caring, and compassionate, and empathetic society, we might turn this world around, hopefully in time. And I did look up a quote from Jane Goodall, which I thought was appropriate. She says, "You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make."
On that note, I'd like to thank you so much, Rosemary, for taking the time to chat with us today and for sharing your many experiences and insights. It's been a fascinating and inspiring conversation, and we wish you the best for this year in your role as Secretary of the HRA Committee and for all your other animal advocacy endeavours. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mika.